Douglas Crook, Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010.
Well, let's return to the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. We'll pick up where we left off last week. We had read, and we'll read again to begin with this evening, the verses 6 through 11 of Proverbs 8. This is the chapter in which we see wisdom personified. And she's speaking and offering her blessings and her wealth and her riches to anyone and everyone that will receive them. And in this particular passage in Proverbs 8, verses 6 through 11, we were noticing the numerous adjectives that are used here by the Holy Spirit to describe the value of wisdom. And of course, the wisdom that we're speaking of is the wisdom that comes from fearing God, the wisdom that comes from knowing God and His plans and His purposes, which are revealed to us in the Word of God. And so this is the wisdom that's always the circle in which we are dealing with wisdom. And so we'll continue to, let's read the entire passage, and then we'll pick up the adjectives where we left off. Listen, for I will speak excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Wisdom can truly lead to the fullness of God's blessing in this life as well as eternity, although Proverbs deals primarily with the blessings of wisdom in this life. But when we yield to the wisdom and when we apply it to our life, then it can lead to success in the will of God and all the blessings. Money doesn't guarantee that. Wisdom does guarantee that when you apply it to your life. The words that we looked at, we looked at excellence, the words of wisdom, the words of Scripture are excellent words. They come from a noble person of authority. They are right words, has to do with equity, has to do with smoothness, and it always leads to the right end, even though at times the way may not be smooth. The end is smooth because it leads to success. His words are truth, faithful, trustworthy. They are not wickedness. That is, they are not wrong or unjust. God's word is never unfair, though it is often accused of being so. It never is. They are words of righteousness, which has to do with justice in accordance with a legal standard or a moral standard. In other words, God always speaks according to His nature that He has revealed. Nothing crooked means nothing twisted or devious about the Word of God. Then we'll pick up where we left off with nothing perverse. There is nothing perverse about the Word of God. The word perverse in the Hebrew, it means distorted or false. There are those that like to distort the facts. Yes, that was an amen giggle that I agree with. There are those who like to distort the facts. There are certain things that parts of it are true, but then they distort it in order to gain advantage and to harm someone else in the process. God's wisdom is never a distortion of the facts, but rather it clarifies things so that we see them as they really are. Let's read in John 3 and verses 18 to 21 that God wants us to see things clearly. And so His word is given for the purpose of clarifying things, of bringing them to light, not twisting them. once you are convinced of God's love for you, then you can have confidence when you come to the Word of God. There are a lot of Christians that are suspicious about the Bible. There are a lot of Christians that are that simply do not accept a good portion of the Bible. And that's because they think, well, some of those things must be twisted or perverse, distorted. There's some truth there, but it's distorted. The Holy Spirit says none of the Word of God is ever distorted or false. John 3, verses 18 to 21. He who believes in me, Jesus says, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. They don't like the clarifying light of the wisdom of the Word of God, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. All of God's Word exposes the reality of what everything is. That includes our sinful nature, but it also clearly reveals to us who we are in Christ, and that we are to understand that when God tells us that we are justified and that we have peace with God, there is no distortion there. That's a clear statement of who we are in Christ. And so no matter what portion of Scripture you're reading or studying, you can have the confidence that it's not perverse. It is not a distortion. And then that goes to our next adjective that's used here. Wisdom, the words of wisdom are plain. And this word in the Hebrew, it simply means straightforward and honest. Straightforward. Not only are they not twisted, not only are they not distorted, but they are straightforward. When you talk to some people, you have to always wonder in the back of your mind, what is this person really saying? Now, they're saying one thing, but you're wondering what's behind it. What is it they really want to know? What is it they really want to ask? What is it they really want to know? But God's Word isn't like that. God's Word is straightforward. It's plain. Hebrews chapter 4. You don't have to worry about a hidden agenda when you read God's Word. Anything and everything else, you have to be a little suspicious. But the Word of God, you can have this boldness and confidence that you can come knowing it will be plain. When he speaks, it is for our good. We don't have to ever question that. Now, there are some hard things that the Word of God tells us. There are some unpleasant, uncomfortable things the Word of God tells us. But we don't have to question whether it's unfair, whether God's got another agenda. God loves me, and he speaks plainly to me because he loves me and because he wants God's best. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. Here is one of the results of this plain word. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God speaks plainly, and sometimes that plain speech, it cuts. But that's with a purpose. It cuts past all of our excuses, all of our deceiving of ourselves, and cuts right to the issue and says, this is the issue. This is what is for your good. This is what you need. This is what honors me. And you don't have to wonder. I wonder what God wants. I wonder what glorifies God. go to His plain, straightforward, honest Word. His Word is right. This word means straight, and the thought has to do with, because it's straight, it is pleasing. This word pleasing is, in the Hebrew, is part of the connotation of the word. It's straight. It's like a straight path. If you want to get somewhere, and you want to make good time, and you want to, your destination is there, and your destination, you're not going for a pleasure trip, but you want to go somewhere. The best way, the most pleasant way, is a straight way to get there. And that's the thought behind this word. God's wisdom is a path that leads straight to His blessing, to His best, for time and for eternity. You want to go the right way? You need to go God's way. And this is what is so difficult in this age in which we live, where everybody's opinion is as good as everyone else's, at least that's what everybody thinks, that there's no right or wrong, anybody can do anything. Well, God's ways are right. Psalm 23. Our shepherd leads us in this right path, path of righteousness. And if we want to enjoy the fullness of the blessings promised in this very familiar psalm, you have to walk in the path. A lot of sheep think they can ignore the leading of the shepherd and still have all of these blessings. It doesn't work that way. If we want the fullness of these blessings, now you're still his sheep, but his protection, his restoration, his peace, his the nurturing and the strength of his nourishment can only come when you follow the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, right paths, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But you see, you can't know that comfort when you are not walking with the shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And we can enjoy that banquet only as we stay in the pastures that he has ordained for us. Otherwise, we choose to walk outside of those pastures. Guess who's there waiting for us? The enemy. And the enemy's there when we are at the banqueting table of the Lord, but only as we stay in his pastures do we have that protection and that confidence in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That goodness and mercy in a practical way in this life can only be experienced by believers who listen to the right words of wisdom. It ensures success in the will of God. The closing verses of the passage we started out there with talks about how we are to seek to possess wisdom more than gold, silver, or anything else that you can desire. Wisdom ensures success in the will of God. Wealth does not. Now, it is possible to be wealthy in natural things and be successful in the will of God. We have many examples in Scripture, both old and new, of those who did that. But having wealth does not ensure success in the will of God. Wisdom does ensure it. That's why it's more valuable, and it has lasting riches. So we should seek it more than anything else. Psalm 119, in verses 162. This is why we need to treasure the Word of God, because its words are words of wisdom. And they are described with all of these adjectives, and some are nouns, but this is the value of the Word of God. Do you come to Scripture, when you read it in your own meditations, when you come to hear it preached or taught in Sunday school or whatever the situation is this how you view the Word of God? Is this the value you put on it? Verse 162 of Psalm 119, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Almost everyone probably has seen those commercials about the sweepstakes winners when they're told they just won $1 million or $10 million or whatever. We've never seen one yet. Now, there's probably one out there because, of course, they always pick the most emotional for the commercial. But they all get a little excited when they, you got $10 million. Saints, we have the riches of eternity in our hands, in our hearts, in our minds. We need to be enthused about the Word of God. And it's too easy for us to, there are people that tell you, it's just boring when you preach or read the Bible. It's just, this is the wealth of the universe right here. These words are worth more than anything you could desire. Everything else is going to blow up one day, going to burn up. But the Word of God that you hide in your heart, the benefit of that, the rewards of that Word are eternal. They will have eternal results and dividends when you live your life according to the wisdom of Scripture. Let's go back to Proverbs 8. Look at verse 12. Wisdom still speaking here and says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. The word prudence in the Hebrew means discretion or shrewdness. And then, and find out knowledge and discretion. Now the word discretion is plan or purpose. So wisdom will give you discretion, a shrewdness that will cause you to understand the plans and the purposes of God. When you apply the Word of God to your heart, when you believe it, when you receive it, when you know it, and you live accordingly, it will give you an understanding of God's plans and purposes for you. And that will cause you to live in a way that will that you will fully benefit from those plans and purposes. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. What kind of plans does God have for Israel? And what kinds of plans does He have for His church? Jeremiah 29:11, I believe, answers both of those. Israel, of course, is the main target in this 11th verse. But if it's true of His earthly people, well, we know from Paul's teaching how much more true it is of His heavenly people. God says to Israel, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, in God's severe dealings with His rebellious people Israel, one might want to question it. I always think, and I kind of chuckle, many of you are probably familiar with The Fiddler on the Roof and Tevye, the character that is the main character. He always makes me chuckle. Someone says, Tevye, don't you know we're God's chosen people? And Tevye says, Yes, but couldn't He just once choose somebody else? Because they were in a time of deep persecution and pain. And, of course, his humor was blinded by his own rebellion, by his own sin. But that's how some people may look at Israel. Well, God's plans, it looks pretty evil to me. Look at their history. But God's plan for Israel is peace and future and hope. And that will be fulfilled by a remnant at the end of this church age. And I believe it's very close. But how much more true is that of His heavenly people? And there are times when we may go through things personally. And there are times when we look at the church and we say, the church is dark. It is apostate. And it's only getting worse. And And we wonder, what plan does God have here? Well, I know God's plan and purpose because I've seen His wisdom, and He's shared that wisdom with me through His Word. And I have a little discretion about what's coming. And I look forward. I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to returning with Him in glory and sharing in that glory because I know something about His plans and His purposes. And how did I get so wise? His Word. He let me in on the secrets of His wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, wisdom says, I hate. Now that's not a very loving verse. We have how many hates in there? Two, couple of hates. And wisdom hates everything that is contrary to itself. That's not very tolerant. Wisdom hates evil, it hates pride, it hates arrogance, it hates perversity. And the reason that it hates those things is because those things bring harm and destruction to people and to God's people. When we think of hatred, we think of man's hatred. Man's hatred is so cruel and so destructive, so hurtful. Man's hatred is selfish. But God's hatred is actually loving. Every place where you see that God declares His hatred for something, it's because He loves. God's hatred is loving. God's hatred is selfless. And so there are things that we as Christians are to hate. We are to hate what God hates. But we're also to hate it in the same way that He does, and with the same reasons. It's because we know those things destroy, but wisdom builds up. Wisdom delivers. Verses 14 through 21 of Proverbs 8. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. Again, that doesn't sound right, does it? That doesn't sound like what people think of the gospel, what of God. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. When God's wisdom for life is applied, when we pay attention to all of these many proverbs that we're going to consider in the rest of these chapters in the book of Proverbs, and then when we go beyond them and see them in the light of Paul's teaching, where many of these truths are echoed and repeated. When we as God's people live according to these wise instructions, it leads to success in life's endeavors. The thought here is that kings and powerful men have benefited from learning to govern wisely. Now, it doesn't mean that powerful kings are always godly men. But those who apply these truths to their actions and their conduct and how they govern things, they benefit from wisdom. History, of course, is full of powerful rulers who were cruel, selfish, evil, and they prospered. They enjoyed success for a while. But ultimately, if you ignore the wisdom of God, it will lead to downfall. And that is true even of that last great leader that is coming, the Antichrist. There will not be a man that has ever risen so quickly to such a powerful, successful control of all of the planet's commerce, and it will appear like nothing possibly could stop him. And he will not be ruling according to this wisdom, but it looks like he's doing quite well. But guess what's going to happen? Jesus Christ will put him down. He will, all of those who have opposed his wisdom will know his wrath. The reign of King David is an example of a king who ruled wisely and who enjoyed the success of that wisdom. Hitler is an example of one who did not rule wisely. He was an evil, selfish man. But again, he had powerful, quick rise to power. But then he quickly failed, didn't he? Because you cannot ignore the wisdom of God. Now, this next passage in Proverbs 8 presents the greatest reason. Yes, there are examples of kings and princes that enjoyed the blessings of God because of wise ruling. But here in this next passage, we have the best reason. Verses 22 to 31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. In other words, God possessed wisdom in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. This is how enduring wisdom is. It will endure and it will be your strength your entire life because it's been around since before the earth was around. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always with him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. It's an awesome passage when you stop and consider what's being said here. God offers to us the very wisdom that was used in the creation of the universe. That's what's being said here. We're trying to be informed of why we should take time to listen to these things. Why should we should take time to study the Word of God? This is the very wisdom that created the universe that's being offered to us. How could we not value such wisdom? How could we not desire to know it? How can we not understand how lasting and enduring these words must be? Because it's the very wisdom that created the heavens and the earth. It's also interesting that wisdom says that it had its delight in men. This world was created to meet man's needs. Now, science is trying to discover anything and everything they can about all the different planets, and it's amazing. I don't have any problem with scientific research and the space technology and all of those things. There are things that we benefit from, and I'm fine with that. But I don't need any of their research to tell me why this earth is like it is and why everything else is like it is. All creation was set in order for me, for my needs, for man. God had a plan for the human race. God had a plan to exalt his son, Jesus Christ. This is why we read in Colossians where everything was created by him and for him. And when I say things were created for me, things for me in Christ. This planet is all about God's plan and purpose for the human race. And that wisdom that created that is now offered me. I can understand those plans and purposes. To reject and to ignore the Word of God is to reject the only path that will give you an understanding of what life is all about. To rebel against the will of God and to think you can prosper, it's as foolish as if the sea would tell God, you know, I'm just going to go wherever I want to go, and for the sea to expect things to be okay. You know, if the sea did not stay in the limit that God gave it, and we know that there are occasions when storms and floods take place, but for the most part, the sea stays where it is. And when it doesn't, there are consequences. But for us as God's creature to say, I'm going to live in my own limit, I'm going to set my own limits, how foolish is that? And to think that there won't be any consequences. We cannot fight against the wisdom that created us. John 6, verse 63. This is how valuable the Word of God is. This is the very wisdom of heaven and earth. Verse 63 of John 6, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said to you, they are spirit and they are life. If you want to live, you have to pay attention to the words of life. First for salvation. And then if you want to know the abundance of that life, you have to continue to hear His words that are abundant life. John 6, jump down to verse 67 to 69. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter, we always give Simon Peter a hard time, but he had some revelation, didn't he? Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a revelation. It's interesting, Peter didn't say that, you know, if there were some other options, maybe we would, but he understood there weren't any other options. You and you alone have the words of eternal life. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This is the wisdom that's being offered. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not too many of us miss too many meals. Those that do go hungry, not by choice. But you cannot skip too many meals and live. And for us, we need to understand that this is how necessary the Word of God is to our life. We can't really live as God would have us to live without knowing the wisdom of His purpose and His plan for our life. One more in Job 23 and verse 12. I have not departed from the commandments of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Can you really say that that's your understanding of the Scriptures? That it's more necessary for you to take in the Word of God and to apply it to your life than it is for you to eat your next meal? Well, whether you believe it or not, that is true. And when we live like we believe it, then it will transform our life, and we will know the abundance of life. Just quickly, I mentioned, because some of this I touched on in the lesson Sunday, but before we leave this eighth chapter, I mentioned in the introduction of this chapter that there are several things that are said about wisdom personified that are also said about Jesus Christ. And that's why some say that this is a prophecy about Jesus. And I don't have any issues with that. I don't think that's a dangerous interpretation at all. But I just feel because of the context and other things that are said that it is just more accurate to simply say that it's just a description of the attribute of God known as wisdom. And Jesus Christ for us is our access to that wisdom of God. But we'll notice some things that are repeated in 2 Peter 1, verses 17 and 18. Just as it was said about wisdom that that God delighted in wisdom, that is certainly true of God the Son. 2 Peter 1, 17 and 18. There are several passages we could read. We'll just use this as a summary. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, Peter said, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. God has always been pleased with his Son. And that's an important revelation to understand your standing before God. We are in Christ. And when you understand what God thinks of his Son, it'll take care of a lot of fears and anxiety, and it will give you rest. I am accepted by God in his beloved Son. It says, we read here in Proverbs 8, that wisdom was with the Father before creation. That's also said. I'll just give you the references since we looked at some of this Sunday. But in John 1, verses 1 to 4, we see that Jesus clearly was said to be with the Father in the beginning. So he was certainly there, and the wisdom of God was being exercised by both of them in creation. It is also true that Jesus delights in the sons of men. We might turn there in Romans 5. Just as wisdom was involved in the creation of the universe for the sake of the human race, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His delight was in men. In the sons of man, in the human race. And let's see. Let's read the last passage before we close this evening, and we'll be done with Proverbs 8, verse 32. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Who are blessed by God? Those who keep the way of wisdom. Hear instruction and be wise. And do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Do you see our responsibility in getting wise? There are some things we need to do. Watch, wait, hear, not disdain. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Wisdom graciously offers us all of her treasures, all of her blessings, her protection, her life, favor, if we will simply listen, keep, hear, watch, and wait for wisdom. May the Lord help us. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.